is not quite often to have food at lunchtime or dinner time. And that has created this saying, Papa yenzale sili, when the father is absent from home because he traveled, it's not that easy for the mother to get enough food to put on the table for the family. So once the father comes back, all the children will start shouting for joy and singing, saying, the father is back, the starvation is over. So we welcome you back, and we thank God for your life, Papa, and we thank our leaders in this church, yes, for all the great work they always do. Whether you are there or you are not there, they are so really connected to the Spirit of the Lord and bring to us the appropriate food for our souls. Praise God. Just as you were reading that passage, it took me back to Friday evening. I was invited to attend a Shabbat meal in workshop. And the preacher, as he was preaching, he highlighted few things that you read there. And really, I thank God to see how the same Spirit is moving side to side in this country. And one of the things he said, when revival broke here and went to America, affected Azusa Street and many parts of the world, the same move when it went to Germany, the leaders in Germany, they stood, they say, no, we don't want this here. They refuse that move of revival in their country. And soon later, Adolf Hitler rose with that demonic empowerment and did what he did to affect in the negative way the world. So this preacher was saying, what if these leaders said, here in our country, we embrace this move of the Holy Spirit. Maybe Adolf Hitler could be saved through that move of revival. And the same natural ability that the enemy used to kill and destroy through Adolf Hitler, the power of the Holy Spirit could use the same ability. Maybe he could be written in the book as one of the greatest evangelists or men of God. So to hear you shouting here that in this country, here we stand for him, it's a powerful declaration. And I think it's what time to time in this church we're doing, especially Zina when she stands here asking us to pray against the bills that the parliament is about to vote and stuff like that. So I believe we're playing a huge role in this church for our nation. And we shall see his glory. Yeah, greater than what we've seen today. Praise God. Well, last Sunday, as the Lord led me, we started this message called Desire. And I thank God for the transformation and change so far that this message has brought in my personal life. And my heart desire and my prayer is that the Lord minister to each and every one of us, because Him alone knows where we're standing and the issues that we are dealing with day and night. And I pray that this message will be a blessing, well, to all those people that we meet in a daily basis, and even those who are far away. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, here we are again, about to listen to your word. Humbly we ask you, Father, to take control of everything and to give glory to your name. Cause your word, Father, to impact our lives, to bring revelation and transformation. Not only that, Father, but blessings as well. We thank you for everything that you have already done since we started this meeting, that you are about to do now, and even what we're going to do when we leave this place. We thank you as well for the presence of your servant in our midst. It was our heart desire, Father, to have him back in our midst. And today, you have allowed him to be among us. Let the glory be given to you. Bless him in our midst, O Lord. We thank you for everything. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, the key verse that we were expanding on and will continue today is Psalm 37, verse 4, which says, "Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart." This is according to the Amplifier Bible. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires and secret petitions of your heart. Last Sunday, we took the first bit of it, which is delighting oneself in the Lord. And we understood that this word, delight, is the same as to be satisfied. So to delight oneself in the Lord is to find satisfaction in the Lord. And it took us to see how one can delight himself in the Lord or find satisfaction in the Lord. Hebrews 13 verse 5 says, "Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." This is a powerful promise. The one who made this promise is not a liar at all. He always accomplished, fulfilled what he has promised. But sometimes we have to go through the course of time, and he's the master of time and circumstances. He will never leave us or forsake us. No matter what kind of problem we are facing, the situation we are in, the world can pronounce the verdict for us saying, it's over. But the one who has the last word is the one for whom we are here gathered this evening. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and his word is true. Whatever he promised, he always accomplished. He will never, never leave us or forsake us. It doesn't matter what people are saying or what we can see falling apart in our lives and say, I'm finished. No, we are not finished. We are not finished. When we read the Bible, we see him raising the dead. Lazarus, he wasn't only dead, but he was also buried. What worse than that can happen to us? To die and to be buried? And here he comes. always in business of serving. He rose him from the dead. He called him from his tomb. Lazarus, come forth. That dead body that was maybe smelling because it was 4 days, decomposed, received life. We are not dead. We're still alive. So we have hope. We have hope. And here he says, he will never leave us or forsake us. But this promise is attached to something that we have to do. The Bible says, be content with what you have. Be content with what you have. Learn to wait on the Lord. You might be crying. It's not a sin to cry when you are in a difficult situation. Although you are crying, but be content. Wait on him. Wait on him, he shall work wonders for you. But before that, the Bible is urging us to be free from the love of money. That's where I read last Sunday what William Barclay said, that if a man does the right thing and obeys the Lord, he may lose his fortune and his position. He may finish up in unpopularity, loneliness, and disrepute, but he will still possess the inner satisfaction, which is greater than all the rest put together. No price tag can be put up on this. It brings that contentment, which is the crown of life. The inner satisfaction. The delight in the Lord. How can you delight in the Lord when things of this world, money and materials, are above the value you give into the Lord? It is impossible. Once, a few years back, I was in London in the underground. I saw this big poster, and it was written, "The true prayer is money, fame, and sex," in the underground. And I stopped there, I read it over and over, trying to understand why that message is put there, what was the purpose of it. I didn't have any answer, but I understood that the enemy of our souls is not sleeping at all. He's very active. By putting that there in the underground, yeah, those who put it there, they knew that thousands of people are going to read that message. And it's a powerful message to those who don't have the Holy Spirit. It can capture them. They will think, they will breathe, they will sleep thinking money, fame, and sex. Though the Bible is saying we don't have to attach our hearts to those kind of things, but to attach our hearts to the Lord and be content, find our satisfaction in the things that are worth salvation. And these are those ephemeral things that bring an ephemeral delight. Power, money, fame, to spend time in the pubs, in clubs, drinking, drugs, clothing, and all those stuff. The Ecclesiastes called them vapor, or vanity, emptiness,
They are pointless. They are falsity. They are vainglory. And he says, all is to no purpose. Because the kind of satisfaction they're feeling in the heart is just for a short period. It's just for a short moment. If it's drug, we've seen those who are hooked to drug. Once he has that injection, he goes to the moon. He can tell you stories. He can dine with the queen when he's under the effect of that injection. He can dine with kings. He can tell you how wealthy, happy he is. And once the effect of that injection is over, you'll see him shaking like a leaf, wanting for more. Praise God. And today, we want to touch this second part. Heart desires. Because the promise says that if we delight in the Lord, he shall grant us, he shall give us our heart desires. And I love it in the Amplifier Bible. Not only the heart desires, but even the secret petitions that you don't utter to say, okay, Lord, give me this, give me that. He sees our heart. He knows what we need. And he's got all it takes to provide to those needs. And last Sunday, we introduced this part with this verse, Genesis 22, verse 14, and verse 8 as well, where Sarah is calling the Lord that he's Jehovah Jireh, which means the one who sees. He doesn't see only, but he provides as well. He knows our needs, and he's happy to provide to those needs. To those heart desires, to those secret petitions. He sees them, even if we cry in day and night, because we want to get the solution now. And that solution we desire now is not coming now. Nevertheless, he sees them. And he wants to provide to them. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Matthew chapter 6, verse 8. Do not be like them, the Pharisees. For your Father knows what you need. He knows your heart desires. He knows your secret petitions before you ask him. He knows your desires before you ask him. He knows what you need before you open your mouth to pray. And here where I say that, we might articulate very well and beautifully our prayer, but we can't bribe God with those sweet words we can put in our prayers. Because he is answering not the sound of the grammar that will come out of our mouths, but he's going to answer the heart desires, the needs that are there in our heart. I have needs. Unless God gives revelation to grace, then she can see my needs. With that revelation, she won't be able to dig down in my heart to know that right now I need A, B, C. But the Lord knows. So before we open our mouth to pray, to tell him what we need, he knows. That's what this verse is saying. Do not be like those Pharisees who think that by multiplying words, they're going to be heard by the Lord. No, the Lord does not need all that. But that is not also not knocking down to pray constantly, to pray fervently, to spend hours in prayer. No, not at all. But these people were repeating themselves, thinking that by that kind of repetition, the Lord will hear them. No, He sees what is deep inside, in my heart, in your heart. And here where now the real deal is. What are the desires in my heart? What are the desires of your heart? He's going to judge them. He's going to look at them to see if they are really needs, not wants, but needs. The needs are good for you. The needs will help you to go somewhere. As a Christian, to go somewhere with the Lord. To accomplish things along with the Lord. But the wants, usually they are based on selfishness. Maybe you want to prove to somebody that you are somebody. And then you want something. The purpose of it is not godly. You can fast for 40 days, and those wants will not be met by the Lord. You can pray loudly, you can shout, you can lay down, you can do whatever you want. The Lord will not hear those kind of prayers, because they are based not on the needs, the heart desires, but they are based on the want. But it happens that the want sometimes become like desires. Before we go deep inside the desires, we prayed at the end of our meeting last Sunday, asking the Lord to restore desires. You can lose what the Lord considers as needs in your life. But we thank God because since He's the one who sees the heart desires, He's also able to restore those sleeping desires. Those desires that have been pushed down because of fear. When you receive those desires, maybe it was by revelation. But once you came across hindrances, the fear took place. And the fear crushed down your desires. The desires that are proved by God. And you found yourself under the influence of fear. You lose those desires. You let them go. And that's what happened here with the case of Sarah. She looked at her age. She said, I'm waxed old. She looked at her husband's age. She said, my Lord is also old. Good for nothing. And in fact, I don't have the pleasure or the desire according to my age. The desire is no longer there. How come the Lord is saying that next year this time I will get pregnant and have a baby? According to the logic, it's impossible. This cannot be. Why? The pressure of life. And the fear as well. Even though we prayed last Sunday about it, I pray again that the Lord restores all our desires approved by Himself. Because we have to be who He wants us to be in Him. And those good desires approved by Him are good for us, are good for the body of Christ. May He restore them. May He restore them. Part two, we want now to look at what is a desire. Here where the Lord really challenged me and caused me to look at my heart, to examine what was deep inside my heart. The first definition that Wikipedia is giving to us said, a desire is an emotional sense of hoping or longing. And longing is defined as a strong, persistent yearning or desire, especially one that cannot be fulfilled. A strong wanting of what promises enjoyment or pleasure. This is the first definition, based on the emotional side of things. A desire can be emotional. In your emotions, you can feel this strong, persistent yearning of something to happen. And according to this definition, most of the time, those stuff that our hearts are longing really to receive, to get, cannot be fulfilled. They are strong wants. And those wants are promising enjoyment. Because you look and you say, if only I get this, I'll be the happiest man on earth. If only I get 1 million, I'll be the happiest man on the planet. If only I get this brand new car, I'll be the happiest man on the planet. If only I manage to pay off my mortgage, I'll be the happiest one. Yes, you can get that million. Yes, you can buy that car. Yes, you can finish your mortgage. By the end of the day, you're going to realize that the emptiness of the heart is still there. Still wanting more. Because those who are making cars, they won't stop to innovate what they are doing today. That one mortgage will push you to desire more. That 1 million will push you to desire more than that. And that's where Paul is saying the making a difference between a spiritual man and an animal man whose heart cannot be satisfied at all. He's talking about pursuing the wind. Who can pursue the wind and catch it? No one. No one. So when a desire is based on the emotions, then we have to double check. Is it worth pursuing those emotional desires? A desire can be based on greediness, which is selfish pursuit of wealth, power, and possessions. It's a very bad place to be. To find yourself day and night, cultivating in your heart desires that are based on greediness. Selfishly, you are pursuing wealth. You think that if only I become wealthy, then I'm the man. It's not strange today to see even in the religious body, people, men and women, working hard to develop desires that are based on greediness. That's how you can visit those kind of churches every time the messages are talking about getting your breakthrough and become wealthy. Rare they will speak about salvation. Rare they're going to talk about repentance, sanctification. And maybe you'll never hear them talking about the return of Christ. Because everything is focusing on greediness here on earth. I was watching one of the Michael Jackson's programs where he bought a kind of, it's not a tomb, but how do you call it? Where you lay the body? Coffin. An Egyptian coffin. And the guy who was with him said, "So, what attracts you to this? Do you want to be buried in this when you die?" "Say what? I don't want to die." "Say, I don't want to die. I will not die." He refused to accept the fact that he's going one day to die. "Say, I will not die. I want to live." But he missed the secret of living. So, pursuing wealth did not help. That selfish pursuit of wealth, of course he became a billionaire. He became powerful. In this other program, they were comparing him to Princess Diana. How they lived, how they helped people, and how they died. And the kind of coffin they were in, and the kind of crowd that gathered to mourn them. And the verdict was, Jackson was at the top of the yard. Fair enough. In that particular world, I'm telling you, and I'm sure about it, some of those celebrities watching what was happening to this king of pop, I believe that some of them developed that desire of dying like him, bemoaned like him. All the channels on all the televisions to be mobilized and talk only about his death. For you, you can see that his emptiness, his vainglory, is pointless. But in that world, it's not pointless. It's not pointless. They're being remembered. So if they have to dig down the way Michael Jackson digged down, if they have to touch the devil himself to go into the deepest part of Illuminati, to get the power, to get that kind of influence, to get the wealth, and to become that kind of popular, then they will do it. They will. But this greediness, its end is death. Want is mainly, and most of the time, based on the economical side. You want this, you want that. Preferences, it's also a desire. Preferences are based on which macroeconomic theory is based. Work it out. The second point of desire or the second definition, is the interpersonal attraction. And again, Wikipedia is saying this kind of desire is found in what we call lust, an intense craving or passion, longing or obsession for self-gratification or satisfaction, a strong wanting of what promises enjoyment or pleasure. Yes, we are Christians. No discussion about it. Can we say that the desires of our heart are lust or they are not lust? Those desires, are they intense passion, longing for self-satisfaction? Or it's something that will bless the church, something that is going to bless the world and give all the glory to the Lord. As the Bible says, once you manage to do something, to succeed in something, consider yourself as an empty vessel to give all the glory to the Lord. Because there is nothing we can do with our own strength. Anything we achieve is by His grace. So we have to return all the glory to Him, considering ourselves like nothing. If today I'm not here, God will use grace, God will use Ken. And if I manage to deliver this message humbly, by His grace, I have to diminish myself and give all the glory to the Lord. Are our desires lust? Are they things pursuing self-gratification? Or those desires that are in our hearts have nothing to do with lusting? They are something that God will receive the glory in them. Desire is also defined as in French we say it, libido. I don't know how to pronounce it in English. Libido. Praise God. I'm learning something. Libido, it's also a desire, but a sexual desire. It can be linked to motivation. Motivation which is birthed by a desire as well. And this kind of desire will lead you into an action. So when you combine these two, you find people deep inside their heart dealing with libido. It doesn't matter if they are married or not. But that kind of desire is there. And truthfully, many people are suffering with this kind of desire. Many people are suffering with it. Is this kind of desire that are leading people, especially those who are not married, to be hooked on pornography? Many young people are connected to that. I remember a friend of mine, he went to visit a friend of ours. There we were at Matesi. So this guy forgot to close his door properly. And he had the speakers, the headphones. He couldn't hear the person knocking at the door. He sat in front of his laptop in his room, thinking that he was secure enough, the door was locked, though the door was not locked at all. He was watching pornography there in the Bible school. He was a single guy. He didn't have a girlfriend. He didn't have a fiance. But he was there inside his laptop, watching pornography. We can understand it by looking at this definition. His libido pushed him to desire to be with a woman. But since he was unable, because he was a single guy, he said, okay, let me pass in action and satisfy my desire by only watching. I've been told that Christians are not exempt when it comes to this kind of dirty desire. And the secret to be exempt is to find satisfaction in the Lord. Because when you are available to find satisfaction in the Lord, your pleasure will be to listen something that will nourish your soul. Your pleasure will be found in watching what will please the one living in you. But to be connected to this kind of desires, full of emptiness, it's very dangerous. I was watching this program that BBC is running in school, commencing from year 6 and going to secondary school. The program is called Pornography versus Education. When I saw the title, I was intrigued a little bit and say, these people, where they're taking our children, is terrible. And at the end of watching the program, personally, I love that program, because although they are not Christians, but the aim of it was to show the reality of the world of pornography to the children. Because according to the statistics, those who are watching pornography among the kids, the number is really, really higher. So they were showing how most of the stuff that are happening in pornography are fake. In the sense of the endurance of the man, they will take many shooting. Or 5, 6, 7 minutes, 5, 7 minutes, they put them together, and then in the pornography, they will show that this guy is really the man. He can go for hours without being tired. And kids, when they are putting those kind of stuff in their mind, they will try to dig deep, even to count it among men, to have that kind of endurance, although it's fake. And all the stuff that they have shown were to demonstrate real people the way they are, and lies that pornography are showing. But it happens that many people, single or married people, this kind of desire based on the libido are destroying them. There are many, many hooked on pornography. We pray today that the Lord will help brothers and sisters across the world, wherever they are, who are struggling with this kind of desire. May the Lord open their eyes to see that they are worth what they are trying to make themselves to be. In the Lord, they can find that real satisfaction. This kind of pleasure that the libido is offering is not really the one they need. They need the Lord. They need the Lord. And it's really the prayer that I have. And the prayer, again, is for our children. May the Lord protect them. Because, lucky to not, they will come across young boys and girls who are empty inside and who are connected to this kind of desires. They can divert them from the path we're trying to show them to follow. May the Lord put a hedge of protection upon all the children from Christian families and protect them from this kind of empty desire. We feel a desire. We don't think it. We just feel it. Before you start to develop a desire in your thoughts, in your mind, you're going to feel it. And once you feel it, you have the power to reject it or to develop it. And that will happen in the realm of thought. If you want to develop it, then you'll think about it. And think, and think. And that will push you to pass in action. That thought will create a motivation. And that motivation is a desire in itself. And the motivation will drive you to an action. It can be a good action or a bad action. All depends on the kind of desire which is in you. If it's a good desire, the thoughts will develop and you're going to achieve what will give the glory to the Lord. If it's a bad desire, then you are in trouble. What you have to do, nourish yourself with good thoughts. I was sharing with somebody, I think yesterday, the kind of situation I went through on Thursday. I got a phone call from Brussels, and that phone call presented to me the needs, and those needs, unfortunately, I started to think in the wrong way, in the negative way. The Lord, how? I have only 1 month to the 5th of September. How am I going to meet these needs? A, B, C, D. According to my own strength, it's impossible. Now, instead of focusing my eyes on the Lord, control my thoughts in regard to those needs. They are not wants, they are needs. My thoughts became negative, and fear came. That fear came to crush me down. But in my country, we say, "Nzambe alala kate." God does not sleep. And that Thursday, God did not sleep. What I did before coming out of the bed, I prayed. I did all I could do to pray because I was really crushed down. One of those days that you say, how am I going to pray? And even if you go down to your knees, you don't have that smoothness of opening your mouth and utter words and say, Lord, I praise you, I worship you. I tried and I prayed, I said, okay, Lord, yes, only leave everything in your hands. So I went to the other room, start putting my things in order, and I came across this preaching that Bishop preached one of the Sundays, I can't remember when. He was talking how we have to praise God in the midst of our struggles and troubles, how we have to praise Him, and He will deal with our problems. How we don't have to focus our eyes on our disappointment, but on the appointment of the Lord. Because those problems that we are facing, that I was facing, were an opportunity, an appointment for God to work miracles and wonders in my life. So I had to praise God for those problems. And that word came to rescue me. It helped me to focus my thoughts on the opportunity, not this disappointment. Throughout the day, I was meditating on that this is an opportunity for me to see the glory of God. This is the opportunity for me to come closer to the wonders of the Lord in my life. Fear was unable to conquer me at that moment. Now imagine if I didn't come across that word that Pastor Andrew preached before. What would happen to me on Thursday? I don't know. I don't really know. My thoughts developed in the positive side. It's desire that gives rise to thought. We only think about what we want, how to get what we want, how to keep what we want. But guess what? Who got the power to fulfill what we want? Since it's God, we have to remain connected to Him, to abide to what He says. As one said, pick a side. Once you pick a side, then pay the price with your life for that side. Protect it with your life. We have picked the side of the Lord. But remember, He was the first one to pick our side. He gave His own life for us. If we are willing, we can control our heart desires and make sure that those heart desires are pointing to His glory, and then we have to pay the price that it takes. And the good news is, the strength will come from above, from Himself. He will give us all we need to conquer, to win. Closing down, I want to close with this verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, "Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Powerful. The Hebrew people, they have a culture or a custom of study partners, you found them, each person, with someone that he considered to be a study partner. Like, you live in the same street, Thomas and Chrisette. You can become study partners. You select a time which is suitable for both of you to meet and learn the Word of God. The revelation that you receive, you share with Thomas. What he receives, he share with you. And that's how they do things. In the family setting, usually, it is the husband and the wife who are study partners. And they can include also the children. So you found the father, mother, and children as study partners. It's a beautiful thing. Have developed that with some of my best friends. One of them is Pastor Shepherd, and that's how here you see I put Ava. The message he preached to us here was Ava, love. Ava, which means I give. So in Hebrew, love means I give. When I say I love you, that means I give myself to you. And here the Bible is saying, do not love or do not give yourself to the world or anything in the world. Beautiful. Do not give yourself to the world or to anything that is in the world. If anyone give himself to the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Because this person is not finding satisfaction in the Lord. He is trying to find satisfaction in the world and in the things that are in the world. And that's when now you see that you can pray and pray since your heart desires are connected to the world and the things that are in the world, no answer will come. Although he said that if we delight ourselves in him, he will answer. He will give us what are our heart's desires and our secret petition. But if our heart, the desires of our heart, are filled with the world and the things that are in the world, then our prayers are full of emptiness. They really emptiness. They are screams and shouts of war than praises. And that's where we have the challenge. That's where we have the challenge. Next time when the opportunity will be given to us, we'll examine the things that are in the world. And as I was going with my study partner through this material, we came across things that opened my eyes and drove me to repent. I didn't know that my heart was filled with the love of the world and the things that are in the world. I thought that I was having a smooth ride in the Lord. I thought that everything was okay with my heart. Until I came across and I said, wow, Dama, you have to repent. And one of the things that have amazed me was that the things that are in the world They have an emblem on them. They are signed. They have labels. And in that spiritual realm, labels have a powerful meaning. In the occultic world, symbols mean a lot. We can look at them and say, this is nothing. No, to them is not nothing. They are not taking signs and symbols for granted. And that's how they always manage. Anything that belongs to them, they have to put a symbol on them. They have to sign them. They have to. It means a lot. The Lord will help us one day to open that chapter and to see what He wants to do with us. May God bless us. May God help us. He's willing, more than willing, to meet our heart desires. But He's waiting for us to delight fully and completely in Him. He wants us to make that move to say, I renounce to the world and the things that are in the world. I choose you, my Lord. I want to love you, my Lord. Ava. I want to give myself to you fully and completely. And then He will help us to control all sorts of desires that are turning in our heart. When the desire as lust will come, we'll have enough power to reject that desire. When the desire as libido will come, He will help us to kick it far away from us. When a desire as want will come, emotional desires, when they will come, He will allow us and cause us to kick them away. But remember, He's with us when we are with Him. When we choose to walk away from Him, we are on our own. And believe me, when we are on our own, there is no way to defeat those wrong desires. It is in our interest to continue siding with Him, giving ourselves to Him, to avow Him, to love Him, day and night, in need or in plenty, in good health or in sickness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We pray that this word we've just received produce fruit of repentance, fruit of transformation. Your word says that we are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are seated in you, Jesus, in the heavenly places. Although you want us to be in this world, but help us, Father, to keep our identity and to show to the world that we belong to you indeed. And since we are unable to produce any good fruit with our own strength, we take this opportunity after receiving your message, Lord, your word, we ask you to strengthen us, to give us the strength that we need, the power that we need for us to continue walking with you and remaining doing everything in your presence. We renounce, oh Lord, today to all sorts of empty desires that might be turning in our heart. Sometimes they're driving us crazy. Sometimes they are making us to feel that we are miserable people, and they push us to the place of fear, make us to forget that you are in charge, you see all our needs, and you provide to them. They make us to that place of being impatient with you. Help us, O Lord. Deliver us today. We renounce all those kind of desires. And we ask you, pour good desires in our hearts, Lord. The desires that will give you glory. And whenever our desires start to be transformed in the shape of thoughts, oh Lord, let those thoughts give you glory, Father. We don't want empty thoughts in our minds. We don't want pointless thoughts in our minds. Help us, oh Lord. With you, we are more than conquerors. With you, we are winners. And we pray for the church as a whole, Father. As you're blessing us here in the local church, we pray for our brothers and sisters who are dealing and struggling with empty desires, with vain glory, with pointless desires, O Lord. Deliver them today. Reach out to them, O Lord. Deliver them, Father. We pray for our children, O Father. The libido is tormenting young people. Protect our children. Protect our children, O Lord. Don't let the libido affect them, O Lord, the way it's affecting the world. But make them to be at that place of choosing the kind of things to watch on television, the kind of things to watch on internet, the kind of things to allow the eyes to see, the ear to hear, and the things to meditate, to ponder upon in their mind. We thank you, Lord. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you.